saving money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right. Shut your mouth, Andrew.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. One hour left of the big show. We appreciate Andrew Carlson back at the station keeping us on the air. And, of course, Aaron Rabel doing his thing as he's doing double duty before he brings Fred and AJ home for the next 3 hours from 4 to 7 following our show.
Thank you, sir.
Brittany's doing a fantastic job keeping us hydrated.
Yes, she is.
Here at Twin Peaks, where we say scenic views as well as eats, treats, 29-degree brews.
Okay, from the text line, we were talking about the Oilers and the
Yes.
Texans and the Titans. Somebody texted and said, Texans fans need to stop whining. And I just stopped reading there, deleted, and blocked them.
Well played.
We will whine forever, sir. Okay, I have a question for the peeps. And maybe you guys know this, too. Okay. So, Mom's Laminack, as I said, graduate of U of H, big Cougar fan. She's stoked about their run and tournament. But she wanted to go to a watch party. She thought there was a watch party at Discovery Green.
No, it's at the Fertitta Center.
So that's what – okay, so it's only at the Fertitta Center, and then there's some other venues around town. Where you, right. But the main watch party –
The main one is at the Fertitta Center.
Okay, I will let her know that because she was like, well, we were looking for it at the Discovery Green. I was like, yeah, well, you don't
– I don't want to – because then you'll tell me that I'm name dropping. I have –
What? No, do drop.
I know someone at KHOU. And they
do you?
Channel 11, yeah.
Who?
And I know that the all morning show, they
Cheetah.
Were promoting the
you
fact
know
that
Cheetah.
They're not only going to have Chinadu host the event.
Oh, really?
One of your friends in comedy.
Yeah, well, I don't know him personally. But
that they're going to show the first game and the U of H game and all the, you know, Shasta and all the mascots and the dance
RC
team.
Colo,
and all that. Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, all of them are going to be
they're
there.
They're all going to be there.
Okay.
So it's all at the Fertitta Center tonight.
I gotcha.
As opposed to Discovery Green. So we'll see.
Okay, well, that didn't work. That's great mixologist thing you got going there,
why,
Joel.
Wait,
I just rake that across my straw.
That's why I don't drink
this
anymore.
This is a disaster right now. Well, that's good to know. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, happy to do so.
All right, let's talk a little budget for a second. Okay. You're like, what?
Yeah, what are you doing?
So this couple on the internet came out with a budget. And they so this couple makes $500,000 a year. Okay? This is their annual income. And they posted their budget online. And when they posted it, they said, well, their thing was, this is – the struggle is real. Okay? This is a family that makes a $500,000 a year. And they said that the struggle is real because this is their budget. From $500,000, the wife and husband both contribute $18,000 each to their 401k every year. Then their salary after the 401k is $464,000. So bless their heart. Then they talk about the 40% effective tax rate is $185K. So now they're down to only $278,400 a year, at which point all the expenses kick in, like child care for two kids at $42,000. That's a lot of money for child care. Is it really that expensive?
No. You know,
$42,000?
No, not even.
That's $21,000 a year per kid.
You know what? I'll tell you what they're doing.
Okay.
They have a nanny.
That's what it is.
It's probably a live-in nanny or a nanny where they have to supply either an automobile and or food
We're
and beverage.
We're one line in, and I already hate this couple.
Yep. Because you know what? That's what I was going to say. Looking at what they're making, God bless. I mean, God bless their checking account. That's amazing.
Food for four, $23,000 a year in food. And they have a caveat. It includes date nights every 2 weeks. So they're out there spending about $2,000 a month on food. $2,000 a month. Mortgage, $60,000 a year. So their mortgage for their house is $5,000 a month. That doesn't include their home maintenance, which is $5,000 a year. Property taxes is $20,000. So between the $60,000 a year for their home and the $20,000 for their property taxes, that's $80,000 a year, well, just on their home. $2,500 for insurance. Three vacations a year is in their budget. The three vacations a year, $18,000 is what they spend on their vacations. Car payments for a BMW 5 Series and a Land Cruiser, $9,600 a year. Gas is $5,000. Insurance, $2,000. Life insurance, $2,500. Clothes for four people, $9,500. Dude, and then that doesn't get to their – then they have children's lessons for sports, piano, violin, and academics is $12,000. They spend $1,000 a month on lessons. They spend $18,000 a year on charity. Good for them. That's a lot of money to donate to charity every year. That's a tax write-off. Undergrad and graduate student loans, $32,000. That's how you get to be making $500,000 a year. And then the last thing in their budget is miscellaneous. Something always comes up, $10,000 a year. They have $1,000 for miscellaneous. You know what miscellaneous for me is? It's like,
wait, $1,000 a year or $10,000 a year?
$1,000 a month. $10,000 a year, basically. I mean, a little under $1,000.
Hey, you doing Nick math?
No.
Okay, should it be $12,000?
The crown got me.
All right, okay. All right, blame it on the crown.
So their total costs for the for a year, $271,100 is what all the stuff I just read you. So that means they have this in their line item. What's left? $7,300. So they basically have $7,300 that they've covered everything else. You have nothing to spend it on. You basically have to save $7,000 a year. And they said the struggle is real. This is how people get murdered.
I was going to say,
by posting stuff online.
Yeah, why?
You're going to tell me the struggle is real and you sitting on $7,000 a year? Kiss my ass. That is not a struggle.
Did intelligence kick in and go, this would not be a good idea to make public without risking really getting lambasted by the general public?
Hey, are you mad because you only have $7,000 a year that doesn't cover anything? Then maybe take your $10,000 miscellaneous budget and cut it back to, say, $500 a month, and now you would have $4,000 to do nothing with.
How much was the car payment you said?
Car payment, $9,600 a year for two cars.
Okay, so take that $7,000, save up for 4 years, then buy a car cash.
Yeah, pay it off. Something.
That's what, a $30,000 car easily?
That's ridiculous.
Save up for 6 years. You could just upgrade it in class.
That budget is, that's crazy.
I mean, yeah, you know what, this kind of reminds me of all these different couples that, you know, want the woe is me card played when they're making all this
sympathy.
Money. What was the couple that was sneaking into the White House parties and all that and other thing like that? And then they started wanted sympathy, and then they found out how much that they were actually making and what they were cashing in on. Just shut up and go about your business. You might be able to get away with it for a while, but don't play the woe is me card.
The article says if they were to take the $18,000 in charitable contributions – plus the $36,000 they put in their 401ks, if they're really struggling because they only have $7,300 left, if you take that $18,000 and $36,000 and add it to the $7,300, that's $61,000 a year that you have to do what you want with and not touch your food and car and house and everything else. Man, kiss my ass. You are not struggling. That's good for them for having that money, but I would never – if I'm making $500,000 a year, I'm not putting my budget online and trying to get people to
feel
sorry for me.
Because no one's going to feel sorry for you. There are people going paycheck to paycheck, people that actually need to use food stamps, people that are trying to make it day
in,
day out.
Cardi B's out here drugging dudes because she can't make it. She ain't got $500,000 a year money. Cardi B's out here having to commit crimes to make it. She's on a stripper salary. What do strippers make a year, by the way? What's the annual income for a stripper? I know our people know.
But that was, you know, before I had to do sprints in the parking lot. What was your girl from the Bunny Ranch? She was killing it, but she's not a stripper.
Oh, she was making seven figures, though.
Yeah, so you got
to
believe
she's actually having to.
A quality stripper has to be making close to six figures a year, don't you think?
How much does a stripper make in one night?
Oh, God, sometimes it can be thousands of dollars.
Thousands or a thousand?
A thousand minimum, but if you get a big tipper or a high roller and you hang out late night.
Ask her.
I've heard.
Don't do that.
I've heard some people in the industry, some ladies in the industry say that they are capable of making.
Okay. I did a quick Googles.
Okay.
Oh, now this is the UK. No, I'm not
that
doing
math. That doesn't
count. But it says reliable statistics about stripper
salaries. Just do the Galleria area.
Are basically impossible to come by. Here's what's out there. A 2010 UK study found dancers earning about $74,000 per year. Dancers who sued one New York nightclub reportedly said they could earn $1,000 or more in a day.
Yep.
So if you earn let's just say they baseline at $1,000 in one night. You can earn, four nights a week?
Probably.
A week? So your income is $4,000. Most of that's tax-free.
Right.
It's all tip money.
Right.
So, that was a poor choice of words.
Yep.
That's $16,000 a month. I can't even do the math on that. What's 16,000 times 12? That is $192,000 a year if you're an average stripper that makes $1,000 a night. And Cardi B's out here having to drug people to make ends meet.
Now,
even if she was a bad stripper, she made $100K a year.
But I don't think that every night, obviously it depends on the nights you work and how many nights. I don't think every night you're going to make $1,000 a night.
There are one-legged strippers. There are very...
we're not talking about Venice Beach. We're talking about
the real... No, there literally are one-legged strippers. There's,
C-section strippers.
There's 50-year-old women that are stripping. There's fat strippers. They're making $100K a year.
Not all of them, Barry. They're not all making the same cash.
If you're stripping and you're not making $100K a year, why are you stripping?
Because it's better than working at McDonald's.
Is it, though?
You never know.
Is it? Is it? Would you want to rub up on a bunch of dudes?
You run the risk of getting
but I'm just saying in general.
Burn at the deep fryer, then just bouncing up and down on a pole in a lap, and you make the same money.
Yeah, that's disgusting, though.
Dude, as long as it stays above board.
Let me paint a scenario for you. Let me just paint a picture for you.
I know what you're going to do.
What am I going to do?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You're Cinnamon, and you're at work, and Patrick Creighton, Fred Fowler, and A.J. Hoffman come in. And now you've got to grind on all three of their laps for a 20, for a 20-twin. You're going to make $60. You're going to make $20 for grinding on Patrick. You've got the stripper money or the stripper song going. Are you doing that? That's the life you live.
This Cinnamon is not, but there are plenty of Cinnamons that would.
But I'm saying if you weren't making $100K, would you go grind on
Patrick Creighton for
$20?
Even if, regardless of, say Cinnamon thinks about it.
This makes me want to take my clothes
Cinnamon
off.
Cinnamon could spend, a grand total of 11 minutes maybe total.
11 minutes.
A song for each guy. For 11 minutes, you made $60.
Okay.
But maybe with a tip. All right? With the same amount of money, and you have to report
hold on. You tip strippers?
Some do.
Who tips a stripper? That's what the 20 is for.
Dude, I'm not saying I did, but when people used to buy me dances, they used to also tip the stripper.
What?
Yeah.
Tipping a stripper is like tipping at the to-go counter at the Chili's. No one tips there.
Bro,
No one tips the stripper.
Bro,
that's what the 20 is for.
Here's a pro tip.
I'm not going, here's 20.
Here's a pro
tip. I forgot
the
10%. I forgot the 15%. What?
Here's a pro tip.
Okay.
Just like when you tip the bartender and you get a little bit more in your drink, make it a little stiffer.
That's called prostitution.
I'm just letting you know that when you tip strippers, it can be a benefit too.
So that's prostitution.
But just to my point,
I am not.
I'm saying you got three guys, $60, 11 minutes.
That makes no sense.
There's no fast food to make that same amount of money.
Yeah,
you're working a week almost. Think about that.
Yeah, but you
less
to,
work, more
you
pay.
You never had to touch Patrick Creighton's penis in the process, so that's a win.
If you play your cards right,
that's
you never had to do it there either. Yeah. Cinnamon.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects coming to you live from Twin Peaks, I-45, and the Woodlands in Shenandoah. You can't miss it. It's on the feeder road heading back into town. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As Barry's here, I'm here. We appreciate all the crew involved in this.
Yep,
AJ's here early. Aaron's here on site.
Had another Michael show up. Mom's Laminac and crew is in the house.
Yep.
Tracy is in the house.
Tracy is here.
She finally showed up.
Yeah.
Buying shots for none of us. Won't allow it. Nope. Not
I think she's
shots.
Got a couple she's already bought for AJ.
Or she just
hasn't brought them over yet.
Yeah. Not doing shots.
No?
My mom tried to buy me a shot. I'm like,
not only did she try to bring it, she brought it right over. They brought it right over on air.
Not doing. I told her. She's like, you're going to drink. I was like, no, I'm not. She's a bad influence. She's been like that. My mom was the kind of, like, my mom was the cool mom in school. Like, everybody wanted to be at our house.
Ours too, yeah.
Now, she wasn't like, oh, everyone could get drunk, mom, because that's against the law.
Right. Yeah. Right, right.
I didn't wink at you.
No.
But she would take us, she took us rapping, not like beatboxing.
So right around Christmas?
Like toilet paper.
Right around Christmas when you had to get your presents
like,
together?
There was a house that I didn't like the dude that lived there. And I was like, I want to go wrap the house, but I don't want to. It was a long way. She goes, I'll drive you. So, like, me and two buddies, we went to the store, and we bought a whole bunch of toilet paper. And then she drove us to his house, and she parked down the street, and we wrapped the house. And then we ran to the car, and she drove off. And she was our getaway driver for wrapping the house. So, yeah.
So you call it wrapping
Moms,
here? We call it TPing.
No, we called it wrapping.
Okay.
But, yeah, she was the cool mom.
Yeah,
so.
My mom was the same one. When we were younger, she would take us to R-rated movies before – kids were supposed to be even close to the movie theater at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just that's the greatest mom in the world to have because then everybody called her mom. And
yep, everybody, all my friends called her mom. She was feisty too. Like she would if people would get out of line, she'd let them know.
Oh yeah,
and I'm not just talking about like my friends, like other adults. Like one time, because a lot of my friends growing up were African American, we were at a mall. And all of us were driving back, and we got followed by a constable. I guess they thought I was kidnapped because everybody else in the car was black. So they were like, oh, well, he's got to be a hostage or kidnapped or something. So they followed us all the way to the house, and we pulled up. And I was driving. We pulled up, and, you know, me and four black guys get out of the car. And the constable's, like, parked at the end of the street watching us. And I knew what was going on. We all knew what was going on. So I go inside, and I told my mom. I was like, Mom, this constable followed us. She goes, what? She goes outside, walks up to his car, taps on his window and goes, what's your problem? I was like, oh, my God. And all my friends ran. Like, they were like, she's not getting us killed. They took off running. Yeah, moms don't play. She was like, what are you doing? These young men aren't doing anything. These are good kids. You leave them alone. He drove off. He was like, he just left. She didn't
good
play.
Job, Mom.
Yeah.
Good job.
Moms don't play that. Yeah.
Love to hear stuff like that. That's great stuff.
Yeah, she was wild back in the day. So.
My mom was the one that wasn't afraid to call out because they called her mom.
Yeah.
But they weren't afraid. Like, so our window above our kitchen, in front of our kitchen sink, looked down an alley, and our alley was our playground. From the time we were little on, if one of the neighbor kids decided they didn't have time to go to the bathroom, they were using the bushes, that window was open. Michael, I see you behind that bush. If you pull your little tallywhacker out, I guarantee you someone's going to whoop your behind by the end of the night. He's like, oh, God.
Wow.
She was the enforcer,
she was
too.
Strict.
Yeah,
strict. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
that's
it.
That's best moms to have.
That's right.
Your mom wants to be on the air right now.
No, not happening. No.
Come on, why not?
No, not
it runs
happening.
In the family. Come
no,
on.
Not happening. It's not that's not going down like that.
All right, we did see because we can mix in some sports here though, but we had talked about a few weeks ago when free agency was getting ready to start that there were rumors out there that the Bears were looking and exploring trading running back Jordan Howard. No one really believed him at the time, said, "Why would you do that? You know, you've got a good running back situation. Why would you want to get rid of him?" Well, we're going to need explanations now because he was traded, and not only was he traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, he was traded for a sixth-round pick.
That could turn into a fifth, right?
Big deal.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was a productive running. Anybody that plays fantasy football knows you could get production and some pretty good production out of Jordan Howard. I don't know what the Bears are thinking. I don't know if they're thinking in the draft that there's a couple running backs that they can snatch up or what the deal is, but I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. You feel like the Eagles are
they're still
making moves, and it surprises me that the Bears organization would maybe make a move like this. And unless they've got, like you said, the draft
there has to be something up their sleeve.
Because I mean, they made the move for Khalil Mack, and that was a great get, and it served them well. But not that this kid is like, you know, a top three back. He's a good back.
Wait! Just think about what you just said. Okay, what? You said he's not a top three back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me. Obviously, when you look at marquee names, he might not be. NFL rushing yards leaders over the past three seasons.
Uh-huh.
One, Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay.
Two, Todd Gurley.
Okay.
Three, Jordan Howard.
So you're going to tell me that in a draft, you're taking Jordan Howard as your third best NFL running back?
I didn't say that I'm taking him, but I'm saying he has to be considered, and people don't realize how high you could consider him when you realize over the last 3 years, 3,370 yards, mm-hmm. third best in the NFL.
That's fine. That still doesn't. You're not going to sell me on Jordan Howard being anything other
all
than.
All I'm saying is for a sixth round pick.
A good back. An above average back. He's not a great back. He's not an elite running back. He's not one of the best five running backs in the NFL. I can name five running backs easily that I would take before Jordan Howard. He's good.
Okay. Let me flip it for you, Barry.
Okay.
You're Brian Gaine.
Yep.
You can give up a sixth round pick and get Jordan Howard. That's a steal for the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's an absolute steal for the Eagles. My biggest point is I don't know what the hell the Bears are doing, but I know that Philadelphia obviously knows that Jaye and whatever else that they're looking at running back, they were uncertain. They're not uncertain anymore. For a sixth-round pick, there's a lot of NFL teams that should have jumped all over that.
I'm with you, but you don't know what other discussions took place.
Yeah, I don't know if he's damaged goods. I don't know what we're dealing with. Look, with the OBJ situation, John Lynch just came out this morning and said the Giants wanted two ones from the Niners, so they said no. Well, that's not what they settled for. So when you look at everything that's being – we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with injuries and locker room stuff,
right.
But that just seems like a very, very bad deal for the Bears.
So, yeah, his first 3 years in the league – he ran for 1,300, 1,100, and 900 yards in that order. That's not a good – you're trending in the wrong direction. 1,300 yards in year one, you averaged 5.2 yards a carry. 1,100 yards in year two, you averaged 4.1 yards a carry. 935 yards in year three, you averaged 3.7 yards a carry. Trending in the wrong direction, that number is impressive over 3 years. But when you look at last – dude, he got outrushed by David Johnson last year.
That's hard to do coming up with Dave Johnson being injured and missing games
yeah.
and everything like that.
He's not horrible, and I think they could have got a fourth-round pick sounds about right for me for a guy like Jordan Howard. If you would have got a four, then I feel like you got a good deal.
If you feel like he was going to cost you a lot of money going forward, like he was going to try and break the bank, sure, then you cut your losses and you try and get something for him. But Tarik Cohen is the only other guy that they got that's really – and he's more of a scat back. He's more of a guy that you bring out of the backfield. You use him on third downs occasionally with his speed. You give him the football. But he's not an every-down back that's going to pound it in between the tackles. And I don't know what the Bears are thinking unless they think there's going to be a running back in this draft that they can snap up at a good round that could fill his shoes.
Well, and they don't even get the draft pick until next year. I did read something about the Eagles being very prudent with their picks. It doesn't cost them a compensatory pick because of age and other factors, and that they're looking to kind of have a youth movement, so to speak, on that team, but not in a way where it's a rebuild or a retooling, but just having their picks available to them without mortgaging the future. So, I mean, the Eagles are making some shrewd moves. I was trying to look and see on the depth chart for the Bears what exists side of you. You mentioned Tarik Cohen. Mike Davis is
no.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I looked at their depth chart, and I said, there has to be something more to this story, or they really believe they got someone that they're going to be able to snap up in the draft that can jump right in and help them out.
And maybe they have another move that they're working on that they feel like is a done deal, so you don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And as far as the Texans go, I've said it before, and I stand pat on what I said. Lamar Miller is, again, not a great back, but he was top 10
better
in rushing.
Better than average, right?
He was top 10 in rushing. He's still young enough to be serviceable for another year or two. It's not a big hole for this team. Could they get better at running back? Yeah, absolutely you could.
Yep.
But they have other things that I'd like to see them address first. So I'm fine with it. They don't go out and add a Jordan Howard for a fifth or sixth round pick. They could use those picks. They've got holes to fill in this team.
Sure they do, but they also had extra picks. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying this was the deal that they should have made, but I'm surprised that they haven't done a whole lot to address running back, at least the depth at running back.
But again,
you've
got Deontay
need.
Foreman coming back a year removed from the injury, so he's going to
be a lot
healthier.
Well, you better hope so. You better hope he comes back close to full strength, because obviously there were all kinds of problems. And the timetable that he was on, he couldn't stay on last year when he was trying to come back. And we said it's such a difficult injury for a running back.
Yeah, well, you know what's not difficult? Getting cash back in your wallet when you
save
buy stuff.
Money.
That's not difficult, and you should do that with GetUpside. It is a totally free app that you can download from the iTunes and Google Play Store. So whatever phone you have, download GetUpside, put it on your phone, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, start getting cash back. a lot of the folks at the station are using it. I know AJ uses it. I use it. I got my wife using it. And she put in promo code Barry. She ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up through the Get Upside app. So don't leave money at the pump. Download the Get Upside app, put in that promo code Barry, and you can just, on a regular day without the promo code, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back at over 500 gas stations around the city. You're already filling up. Why would you leave money at the pump? If someone walked up to you and offered you $3, $5 while you're standing there pumping gas, you're going to turn it down? Absolutely not. So why aren't you downloading Get Upside and putting it on your phone and getting that cash back? And the same is true when you eat out. You can go to these restaurants like Wendy's and Popeye's, grab some lunch at Burger King, and get 20 up to 35% cash back. The Burger King by my house, 25% cash back. So there's a lot of money to be had out there that you're leaving at the table or at the pump if you're not using Get Upside. Download Get Upside. Put it on your phone. It takes 2 minutes. Super easy. Totally free. And start getting cash back. Use promo code Barry. Get cash back on your first fill up. Get an extra savings as well. It's called Get Upside. Promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later. And we'll be back in 60 seconds right here on The Usual Suspects.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Another good story a couple weeks ago. British Columbia, little boy's in his backyard playing with his dog. A cougar jumps over the fence. A cougar. Not meow. The little boy's dog attacks the cougar, right? The little boy runs in the house to safety, and while he's watching from the window, his dog and the cougar are fighting. The cougar's tearing it up. The cops show up. They kill the cougar. The little boy's dog has three operations and lives. It's a good story, right? It's a good story. But I started thinking about it. You think that dog came home with a little bit of an attitude? Oh, you bet your ass I'm sleeping in your bed tonight, Timmy. Yeah, I'd love to wiggle my tail and beg for food, but as you can see, I don't have a tail anymore.
Hey, we're back on an FEF Friday. That's F for Funny. That's our man, Billy Gardell. Unfortunately, he could not make it here today due to a back issue.
He's probably putting a drink on the car like I did. And threw his back out.
How old is he?
I don't know.
just asking. That maybe factor in. But at the same time, we hope he's okay. Hopefully, he'll make it to the joke joint okay and perform tonight. But we're disappointed that he couldn't be with us here at Twin Peaks in the Woodlands this afternoon.
I'm sorry I'm laughing. Stephen Usick, our resident letter expert at Gal Media and ESPN.
And a suspect.
And a suspect. But he tweeted me. He goes, Barry, she's at it again. Hashtag Whately selfie. She's got another one. It's a picture of her, and it says, I'm wearing hashtag Cougar Red, but don't tell my dad he's a Kentucky Wildcat. I am showing you some March Madness bar and restaurant specials. Also, I'm covering a major big wreck shutting down the East Texas Freeway. It's a selfie over.
It went on the last time for like two or three days, and finally I saw people like going, okay, people, she's still a really nice girl that I like to watch on TV. Can you cut her slack now? And like Pete Randizzle and everybody were like, but wait a minute. She still used a major catastrophe to send out a selfie.
So good.
Man.
And by the way, Tracy tweeted us and said she was getting us shots that have to do with, working jobs. Like what a fan does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing those shots. No
Me
way.
Me neither.
Now, you'll do a belly button shot, though, off of Aaron, right?
Nope.
No?
Not even close.
You said off air you would.
No, I sure didn't. But that's what they would call hashtag fake news.
By the way, Mandy and KJ said there was a one-armed stripper that used to work back in the day.
Okay.
I feel like if you're a one-armed stripper, I feel like you kind of, you know how they have the traditional first song with your clothes on. And then the second song, you strip, and you go close off. By the way, everybody knows the rule. You never tip first song, right? That's just a given. unless you're just trying to be the cool guy.
Oh, now you tip strippers.
And you think, no, the $1 bills. Oh, okay. Not when you pay for the 20.
The dance. Got
yeah,
it.
The All dance. Right. You never tip first song. But I feel like with a one-armed stripper, does she get three songs? Because it's going to take longer to get the clothes off. So do you buy her more time? Because she's only got the one arm, and she's reaching around, and she's got to gather her money. Do you think she just kicks it
she have to
back
pay?
To the backstage? Because it would take a long time for her to gather all the
bills. Yeah, I was
going
to say, does she have to pay like one of the bar
she's
hands?
Rake.
To,
she's got
rakes
one of those,
it with one hand.
Yeah, or maybe she just gets a blower. Like she's blowing leaves and just I don't know if I'm tipping a one-arm
stripper. How does
KJ stripper.
Know?
I don't know. He just said there was a one-arm stripper. One used to work at the strip club on West Park back in the day.
I will say this. Going to a strip club on West Park?
I don't know if I ever told this strip club stories. I'm sure I did, but it was a long time ago. We can break them out again. I was at a strip club in Canada, which, by the way.
Should we make sure your mom's listening for this?
No, she knows. If you're going to go to a strip club in Canada, be prepared to have some fun. They get wild. It's not the same as Houston.
I've told you, too.
No cover.
Right.
Cheap drinks. Now, their $1 bill is a coin. They don't have a dollar. So you usually have to tip five Canadian at least. But we were there. And the best part about this, is, by the way, is that my wife totally condoned my strip club on the road. She would be like, oh, yeah, you can take out $100. Or she'd give me money. Like, I'd be like, I don't want to go. She'd go, yeah, take $100 and go have fun. That's how cool my wife is. But I was at a strip club in Canada, and it was amateur night. They have open mic for strippers in Canada where you can try it out and see if you like it. It's like an open mic for strippers. So this stripper, she's doing the open mic, and she's an amateur. They're like, coming up next is whatever, Svetlana. She was a Russian stripper.
Cinnamon.
No, Svetlana. She was Russian. So this chick gets on stage, and she's wearing a coat. All right, like this big, long,
oh, you have
like
told this story.
Trench
yeah,
coat.
Yeah, yeah.
And she starts dancing, and she's not a good dancer at all. And I'm not talking like from a stripper perspective. I'm talking about staying on beat. No rhythm whatsoever. But she takes this coat off, and she lays it on the ground. And she starts spreading the coat out like it's like she's going to make like a tent. Like it's like just she flattens out this coat as much as she can. And the music's playing. And she's real meticulous about it. Then she backs up. She starts backing up on the stage, step by step. She gets all the way to the other side of the stage, takes off running, and baseball slides onto the coat and damn near flies off the stage. And I lost it. I am dying laughing. Then she stands up. And I didn't even recognize it until she stood up. But she had the biggest panties I've ever seen in my whole life. She was wearing, like, granny panties.
GPs, yeah.
Like, big-ass drawers. And I remember saying out loud, my buddy, I started laughing. I was like, wow. And my buddy says out loud, those are the biggest drawers I have ever seen in my entire life. And she hurt him. And then she got mad. And then the next thing I know, I see, like, this Russian guy. I was like, oh, we're going to die now. This is our pimp. And then the other thing that happened that night was there was another stripper, like a professional, not an open micer. And she was on stage, and my buddy had never been to a strip club. And so that's why we wanted to go. We wanted to take him for the first time. So he's sitting at the stage, right? Like he's got his drink, and we're sitting at the stage. And at this was an all-nude strip club, and this chick has a candle, all right? And she starts dripping wax in her no-no part. And it builds up, and my buddy is like, yeah, this is so great. And she flicks it off of her no-no part, and it lands in his drink.
Mm,
but he didn't see it. And my other buddy went to say something. I went,
that's so wrong. You don't know what he could contract with that.
Let him drink it. And he did. And he had a great time until he got to the end. He was like, what the hell is that? I was like, that's the wax, bro. He's like, what? It's wild. So, yeah.
I told you that the strippers there have their own trading cards. And so when they come out on stage to do –
they give you cards.
The second dance, when they start de-panting,
mm-hmm.
they actually will touch the no-no parts with the cards and start throwing them in.
What?
I
didn't see that.
We had a player that collected the full set.
That's great.
It was passionate.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was a big hobby. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you're going
to
partake in the adult industry in Toronto, it's a wild time. No doubt about it. Speaking of a wild time, I want to get to this, too. Okay. We talked about the Russell Westbrook interaction with the Jazz fan a few weeks ago and the fact that he was banned for life from attending Jazz games in Salt Lake City going forward. I would dare say that someone, a fan in a certain city in the NBA, went far, far further in terms of offensive behavior and got 2 years. I'll tell you about it next.
Oh, good.
Yeah, crazy.
Nice. Look at you.
Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, so we're going to be back. We got one segment to go in the big show. Then we're going to turn over to Fred, Aaron, and AJ, the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock. Come on in and see us if you're anywhere near the area in the Woodlands. We are at the I-45 and Shenandoah location of Twin Peaks. And the Blitz will take you home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
An ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks in the Woodlands. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F, yeah, Friday. F for funny, Billy Gardell, our comedian of the week. If you missed him, so did we. He was supposed to be here, but due to some back issues, he passed. We still had his clips. If you missed any of it.
He didn't pass away. You made it sound like he passed.
No,
you said he passed. He didn't die. It's just a bad back. Joel's out here spreading rumors. TMZ's like, Billy Gardell dies. Joel Blank, the ESPN 97.5 is our source. Passed. P-A-S-S-E-D.
That was a dad joke. That was...
No! Aaron, did you think the same thing?
My eyes lit up because I was like, oh, no, he did not.
He decided to... Yes.
Anyway, he passed on the opportunity to be out here because of an injury to his back. He will be just fine. He's going to tough it out, however, at the Joke Giant Comedy Showcase this weekend. So please go out and see him if you get a chance. He's very funny. He was Mike of Mike and Molly. He was in Bad Santa. Was it You, Me, and Dupree? Yep. Lots of different things. And if you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab and check out the hours you missed. And you can also check out all the clips of Billy. I teased this before the break, and I want to get your opinions on this.
Okay.
So we went into some detail about the fan in Utah that was banned for life after he was involved in a verbal back and forth with Russell Westbrook. So now the Celtics have come out today. Imagine this, Barry, in Beantown, in Boston, which is not a racially motivated city at all.
No.
Never had any stories about anybody doing anything to anybody on baseball, basketball, whatever. But the Celtics came out and said that they are banning a fan for 2 years for being verbally abusive to Golden State Warriors center DeMarcus Cousins. Interesting thing is ESPN's already saying that the fan called DeMarcus the N-word. Now, the Celtics were not going to verify it. They said they investigated. But based on other investigations, there is at least the sources out there that say he dropped an N-bomb on DeMarcus.
Okay.
2 years enough?
No, that should have been a lifetime.
I totally agree.
Easily should have been a lifetime.
Because the bottom line is we don't know. We don't have the actual audio of the guy in Salt Lake. But obviously all you got to do is ask the fans around, and someone's going to be able to say, yeah, I clearly heard this or that. And if another one can corroborate it and say, I heard it too, then you got to do something. But that's just a bad look, and it's nice that they're trying to take action. 2 years is not even close to enough.
No, yeah. I mean, the guy in, like you said, the guy in Salt Lake got a lifetime ban, and he just made a reference about being on your knees.
Now, they did say that what the phone didn't pick up was a lot of racial, and then they went to his Twitter account and saw more racial.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, I think that's got to be a zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. I don't see how you let them get away with that. It's Boston. I mean, that...
And here's what I don't like, too, because the Celtics said that, you know, they were alerted by DeMarcus Cousins of what was going on, and that Cousins said he used racially offensive language towards him. Upon receiving the complaint, the fan was ejected. The following day, an investigation ensued. In the process of doing the investigation, they identified the fan, other fans in the area, and police in the vicinity. In the course of all of this, they were able to conclude that the fan had been verbally abusive, told to the Golden State bench. But none of the interviewed parties were able to verify the use of racially offensive language, and video evidence proved inconclusive. Then how in the world does ESPN reporting that Cousins, the guy shouted the N-word?
Yeah, that is weird. That doesn't add up.
The punishment for any corroborated discriminatory language would be a lifetime ban.
Ah. So they're going to have to.
I would.
Wow.
Well,
that's
I don't
a
think.
Mess.
Yeah. It's just, and it's Boston again, too. Where, again, I'm sorry, but based on past precedents, there's a lot of people that are not having a hard time believing that happened.
Yeah, that's I'm not surprised when you're like, oh, fan banned for using N-word. Dateline, Boston.
Yep.
You're like, yep, okay. Any arena in the South, Boston, Philly?
Yeah.
You're like, yep, I mean, that sounds about right. All right.
I just, to me, at some point, you know, and it's not just one sport. I've told you stories about a really good friend of mine that I play basketball with that's African-American that had heard the stories, but he wanted to go to Fenway Park. And he goes to Fenway Park, and he's sitting in the seats, and his jaw just dropped with the language that they used and how flippant they used it. Adam Jones was out there talking about the fact that in the outfield they were yelling things, throwing things at him, doing all those things. He said they actually started yelling things at him as they got sauced up towards the end of the game. And he goes, I had to keep my composure as best I could and walk out of there.
I don't know that I would be able to keep my composure.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
I would probably lose it. On Twitter, JDoe316,
okay.
He tagged me on a photo. He goes, hey, man, I just watched your segment on the Houston Sports Show on YouTube. Mm-hmm. The BS Report, which we're changing the name, but it's supposed to be just BS, Barry on Sports. But he goes, did you have a name change? And I was like, what's he talking about? We haven't told anybody we're changing the name to just BS Barry on Sports. And then I looked at the picture, and you know how you can do the
CG, the graphics?
No, like you just give a little blurb about the piece.
Oh, yeah.
It says, comedian Barry Manilak takes on sports.
David Barron write that?
Barry Manilak. M-A-N-I-L-A-C-K. That's not even, like, you got all the letters.
Yeah,
but that's
not nearly
the right order. Barry Manilak. Yeah, that's funny.
And who wrote that?
I have no idea. Whoever uploaded it to the Houston Sports Show YouTube.
Probably a U of H intern.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you this, too. The people at Channel 2, whenever I do the Sports Sunday, I'll always text Wex or Randy and go, hey, our website would like to see that. We'd like to do some things with it. Oh, it's not up? Oh, we'll get on that. And then, like, a week and a half later, they're like, hey, our guys are still working on it. I go, you guys already had another show.
It doesn't matter.
It's already.
Anymore.
Talk about.
You can find all three.
Outdated? Yeah.
Houston Sports Show has a YouTube page, and all three of my segments are up there. So you can do that. Or, actually, I created a public playlist on my YouTube. So, @BarrySFunny on YouTube. And you can see the three that we've done so far, with more to come. Doing another one this week. Missed it last week because they were on location in Tulsa for the Cougs.
Right.
They're still on location, but they somehow figured out a way for me to go.
Jerome did it from spring training, right?
Yeah.
So he taped his segments, and they and they had that good round table going with some of the Astros beat writers, too. So tonight, speaking of that, too, Astros game two. I used to always hate that. Opening day, and then they'd give the teams a day off, and then have the same two teams play again.
Right.
That was always kind of like a misfit place. So the good news is they're back at it tonight. Garrett Cole on the hill against Charlie Effin Morton.
Yeah, how you feel about that?
It's going to be interesting because I want to see how many guys are going to tip the cap before the at-bat. And,
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, because, look, he obviously is a main reason why they got a World Series championship in Houston. And you can't fault the guy for going out and getting the money. Well, this is probably his last deal. You know, he's had a lot of arm problems. He's getting up there a little bit. I knew a lot of people were kind of banking on him, giving a little hometown discount. He liked Houston. He liked being here.
Yeah.
But
they all say that.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see because of the Brent Strom factor.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I really want to see how he pitches.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Charlie Morton can maintain. Once you learn some tricks of the trade from Brent Strom and the Astros and their analytics department and their coaching department and staff and everybody that helps make these guys that come into Houston as good pitchers become great pitchers, in the case of Charlie Morton and Garrett Cole. it's going to be interesting to see if he can carry that over. I think he's still going to be a good pitcher.
Yep.
I expect his numbers to decrease.
Yeah, I'm really going to watch the velocity because of the fact that not only just the Brent Strom factor, but the fact that he had arm issues at the end of last year.
Yep.
And I got to believe from the Astros' perspective, anything long-term with him was going to be – they were going to be leery of because of the fact that that's the first sign in an arm that might be breaking down. And obviously he's had a history of injuries, but not all arm-related. But, yeah, I'm interested to see his velocity tonight for darn sure.
All right, so who you got tonight in the second half of the Sweet 16 games? Because we picked yesterday.
Yeah,
and I went 2-2. You went 2-2, right?
Did I?
Yeah, you picked Virginia. You said Florida State could upset Gonzaga.
No, I didn't take Florida State. I did not take Florida State.
You said Florida State.
I did not.
Okay.
We can go back and listen to that.
Okay.
But let's just stick.
Did you have Michigan?
Yep.
Okay. You had Purdue?
No. I had Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you went 2-2. No, you went 3-1 because you had Virginia.
Okay.
So, who you got tonight?
I got Carolina beating Auburn.
Okay.
I was torn at the end. I've got Carolina playing Duke in the championship game, and I was very much leaning Carolina.
Yeah.
So I think Carolina's got a final two team roster. I think they have, along with LSU, I think they have the two top to bottom deepest rosters in this tournament.
All right, so you're going Carolina, LSU.
Carolina's going to win. LSU is not going to beat Michigan State without their head coach.
Okay.
Without Will Wade, with all the talent in the world, I think Michigan State wins.
All right. Duke, Virginia Tech.
I think Duke beats Virginia Tech handily.
All right. Let me do my three of those, and then we'll both do U of H.
Yep.
I've got LSU, Carolina, and Duke.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm only different in the LSU-Michigan State game.
All right.
And then Kentucky.
Man, I'm telling you what. As much as I want to pick the Cougs,
I
can't. I hope it's a close game.
I love you,
and I really hope they win. But if I had to bet on it, I would take Kentucky.
I'm with you. I want them to win.
Yes,
but like I said earlier in the show, it's that Houston stigma that I can't shake. Even though we have a World Series win in this town, I still can't shake it. So
no
I feel like something bad could happen.
Well, we appreciate good things happening, and that is being out here at Twin Peaks and Shenandoah. We hope you all have a great weekend. We appreciate you listening to the show. We'll be back Monday, so hopefully you will be too. Until then, we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and Aaron. The Blitz, they'll take you home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.